what the fuck? Why was the feed to the planet? Why did they cut the feed early again tonight, despite the fact that we got out before the hour in a timely basis again? Who the hell's on the board there? Is it that Jared, Jason, whatever his name? I'm going to throttle him somehow. He's not listening. Someday I'm going to meet him and say, hi, nice to meet you. Bam, bam, smack him around a little bit and shake the fucker up.
Who knows? Working by the clock.
We run things by the clock here. Yeah. In that famous 1960 speech to ministers in Houston that John F. Kennedy made, his speech wasn't all about trying to intermingle religion and politics. In the course of Mitt Romney's speech, he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of mankind." Why the fuck, other than for the obvious reason, pandering to the political right fundamentalist Christian types, was that part of his speech? Why did he have to make such an explicit and definitive statement regarding his belief in this specific deity? Somebody in one of the blogs made an interesting point. He said, maybe it wasn't so much that Mitt was trying to define his Christianity for like-minded people and let Christians that are not members of the Mormon faith know that, hey, I walk pretty much in lockstep with your beliefs. But maybe what he was really trying to say to the audience was that, guess what? I might be a Mormon, but I'm not a Jew. I'm not a Muslim. I'm not a member of one of those other lesser religions.
I don't know if he would call it lesser religions, since he did mention those religions in the speech. You know?
Why didn't he embrace pluralism? Why did he leave agnostics and atheists feeling as though we don't count?
Wait a minute. What he was trying to do, I think you were right as a religious respect, but I think what he was trying, and from what I can tell how you've interpreted this so far, is that he's trying to say, okay, I don't care which branch of Christianity you are. I am Christian too. Mormons are not idiots. We're not a cult.
Well,
we're not Jews. You know, we're not related more to the Jews or the Muslims. We are Christians. There are a lot of people who don't believe the Mormons are Christians.
Well, and
it has to do with the other religions.
Well, they're not. They're Mormons, but their belief system is relatively identical to that of Christians.
This is where you don't follow it. You have the Torah, the Old Testament, the Bible, the New Testament. Okay, now
the Mormon Bible, the wacky person made it all up. Testament,
but that doesn't make a difference. It's still the third book. It's the third book in their religion, much in the same way as the Quran is the third book in Muslim. Okay? Don't you get the idea?
The Quran is the third book in Muslim. That sounded like half a sentence.
Yeah. Don't you get it?
No, not the way you're expressing
it. Their Muslim religion is based on the Judeo-Christian ethic. They believe in the Bible. They believe in the New and Old Testaments as predecessors to theirs.
I know what you're trying to say.
But yeah, so you're getting it. That's what I'm trying to say. And there are people, however, who do not believe that because the Mormons follow a third book, the Book of Moroni, the Book of Mormon, that it's part of the Christian faith.
The Book of Malachi.
They don't believe that it's a Christian religion, and it is. That's what I'm saying. He's trying to say, hey, Mormons are Christians.
Yeah, he's trying to say, actually, I'm just like you. But by the same token, he's being very intolerant of other religions and of people that have no religion. It's kind of like he's veiling intolerance under the guise of tolerance. Like, really, you know, religion is okay, but
it depends, I think, on your approach. If you are, say, a right-winger, if you are of the religious fundamentalist,
not everybody that's on, you know, there are people on the left that are also, you know, consider themselves Christians.
Okay.
Strangely enough.
If you are strongly Christian, okay, then you believe that Judaism and Muslim and Buddhism are all lesser religions. the idea, he's saying, no, Mormon is not a lesser religion. It's one of the Christian religions. So if you're tolerant as a as one section of Protestant Lutheran versus an Episcopalian,
but by saying that, he's saying that all the other religions are lesser. They are not as relevant. They are not as meaningful. That the Christian religion, it's almost like he's putting it on the pedestal. This is the key religion. This is the important religion. All you other folks out there, there was no need to do that. When Kennedy made his proclamation way back when and basically said, I don't remember the exact words, the Pope in Rome will not be leading me. I will not be defined by what he has to say. This guy went and did the exact opposite, He didn't make it sound as though, no authorities of his church would be leading him along. He went on and on about the prophet that was leading him, and it was not good. He made statements about how the Bible is the revealed word of God. We didn't need to hear that in that address.
But what I'm trying to say is that he's trying to tell the other religious right people he's one of. That's all he was trying to do. Now, if that implies...
I think he was trying to do more than that.
I think if that implies everything else you're saying, yes, because to them... it is a lesser religion. The others are all lesser religions. They're less religions of a lesser God. Okay? That's what he's trying to agree to get these people, these right-wing people, these overly religious Christians, on his side. Right now...
God damn it. I want religion out of the fucking marketplace of ideas. I'm sick of I'm sick of hearing about religion every time there's one of these dumb debates. What was it? This week or the prior week, where the guy got up there holding up a Bible and holding it up there to Rudy Giuliani and comedy. Do you believe every word in this book is the express word, is the absolute definitive words of our Lord and Savior or God himself? Blah, blah, blah. I was just waiting for one of those candidates to say, none of your fucking business. Just one.
I would say, look, whether I believe it or not has nothing to do with how I would run the country.
And he certainly didn't say that. And he really got me thinking when he made the comment, freedom requires religion. Bullshit. Just as religion requires freedom. Bullshit. Nonsense. Remember last week I went off on a little tear about the Scandinavian nations? And I mentioned how the Scandinavian nations there was less overt religious celebration. There were far fewer people attending religious services in the Scandinavian nations. Religion overall seems to be less important in those nations than most others in Europe. And guess what? They're doing just fine, and they seem to have a great degree of freedom in those countries. And overall in Europe, in recent decades, religion has been on the decline. Well, are those countries where religion is on the decline less free? It seems to me those nations that are less free are those nations that are run by dictatorial imams and the likes of the Arabic countries, of the Muslim nations, where there is very little personal freedom due to the dictates established by their religions.
Exactly. Exactly. But I'm trying to say, you can't really have a dictate that way in this country because the way it's built, we have all religions present. You want to take if you take any president and he decides to say, well, I am a Lutheran and the Lutherans believe that we are the most supreme of all the Christian religions.
Oh, do they?
Oh, yes. the Missouri Synod,
Well, listen to me, you fuckers.
No.
The Missouri Synod, which is the Lutheran Church's seat in this country.
They have a synagogue?
Seat.
Said the Missouri
Synod.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you. I know what you're trying to pull a joke, but I'm trying to get serious here.
I don't pull a joke.
There was
unless you're referring to my penis as a joke, in which case, let me tell you, I can get up many witnesses. I can get up, indeed.
Yeah. No. You remember there was the unilateral all religious
and the Unitarian all religious
whatever at the World Trade Center Memorial.
Mm-hmm.
Did you realize that the Lutheran minister who was there was more or less separated from the church because they said you appeared with religious preachers and priests from lesser religions?
Did they actually use the word lesser religion?
Yeah, I think they did.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they actually use less. So, in other words, yeah, you see, you got to realize something. You come out and say that you believe in a certain religion, you're going to rule the country that way, you're going to have a riot on your hands.
I guess.
All right. You cannot do that.
Somebody I generally am not exactly in agreement with, Charles Krauthammer, wrote the following about this Hazari this week. Giuliani, Romney, and Huckabee. Boy, did he go on this week about religion and his faith, too. Giuliani, Romney, and Huckabee bent the knee and tried appeasement with various interpretations of scriptural literalism this week. The right answer and the only answer regarding freedom and religion and any relationship between those two and government is that asking questions about one's religion and one's beliefs in certain books is offensive. The Constitution prohibits any religious test for office. And while that prescribes only government action, the law is also meant to be a teacher. In some places, religion promotes freedom. In other times and places, it's done precisely the opposite, as it demonstrates in huge swaths of the Muslim world, where religion has been used to impose the worst kinds of unfreedom. This is pretty elementary stuff, he states. The very rehearsing of these arguments seems tiresome and redundant. But apparently not in the campaign of 2008. It's two centuries since the passage of the First Amendment, and our presidential candidates still cannot distinguish establishment from free exercise. Well stated.
Well said. You know, the one you got to watch out for is Huckabee.
Oh, God.
He's up in the polls. He is moving into the spot that Fred Thompson should have had.
Well, what did he say this week? Fate doesn't just influence me, it defines me. Dum-da-dum-dum.
He is, I think he's a deacon or something, or some sort of religious advisor.
No, well, so's Mitt Romney. He's a fifth-level whatchamacallit. He's also a prelate or something in his particular crazy cult church.
The point is that I've...
Will you stop that?
I'm sorry. No, I'm not.
I've known a few Mormons, and believe me, I would trust a Mormon over a Southern Baptist any day. Okay?
You know, I might agree with you.
Yeah.
But the big deal that was made of that speech, the speech was nothing. Keep in mind, Kennedy went on about how he felt that, you know, a president's religious views were private. Shouldn't have even, they didn't need to be discussed. Romney, one of the lines that stood out in his speech was when he said, or when he pledged, I might say, not to, and I'm quoting now, separate us from our religious heritage. Please do. Please do. Because in a Mitt Romney America, there's no place, there's no seats at the grand table of inclusiveness for atheists, for agnostics, for people that challenge and question. Secular states like Sweden, a lot of freedom. Religious state like Iran, you know, this is simple, basic stuff. While he's going on and on about the commitment to frequent prayer of Muslims and all these other vapid bullshit nostrums that we really didn't need to hear.
Yeah, you know, there's another country you don't think of when you talk about this, and that's Mexico. Because of corruption of the old Catholic Church 200 years ago and the settling of that country, all right, they were priests holding political office. They reformed everything, okay? They kicked them all out, and they said, this is under laws of that country, if you cannot in public wear religious garb. If you are in the church or in your synagogue or in your mosque, fine.
Well, no,
You walk out on the street, you can't do it, and you cannot promote a religion.
That actually seems a little heavy-handed to me.
It's heavy-handed, but what has it done? It's done the exact opposite. Supposedly, on the outside now, everything is neutral and everything is secular. But there are more. It has the highest proportion, I think, of Catholics to any other religion in Mexico. All right? Not counting most of South America, which is also mostly Catholic. You see what I mean? Because I think people forget that Mexico is like the United States in that who had accepted for people from Europe for the as one from many to make up the general population. There was a very diverse population in the say around Mexico City and in eastern Mexico. Out in the west is mostly Indians, of course, but the Catholic faith is extremely strong down there. Even though on the outside, the surface, you cannot show religious garb of any kind. You can't wear a cross on the outside, you know?
We're having an election next year to elect a president, not a pastor, not a pope, not somebody that's going to interject religion into the conversation that should be focusing on issues of matters of relative importance. I'd prefer to know nothing about the religious imperatives of the people that are running for office. I don't want a pastor. I don't want somebody as my president who indirectly even will be expecting us to follow the moral teachings that he believes in because they're so important to him. Yeah, I'm one of those guys that say, hey, you know, whatever your religious beliefs are, keep them to yourself. I don't need to know about them. If you're into creation science or some other nuttiness, actually, it wouldn't be bad for me to know because I don't want such people to be leading this nation. I don't want people with these antediluvian messages that are crazy, that are stupid, that are inane, that are proven false and wrong to be in such leadership positions in my nation. It should not happen in this country, but it might. It might. Don't forget, Huckabee said, actually said this week, I'm glad I was looking for the quote here. He actually said the following: don't Mormons believe that Jesus and the devil are brothers? And this is the nice Republican in the race.
Yeah.
Would a nice guy refer to Jesus' brother as the devil? Two more crazy people, Huckabee and Romney? No, thank you. No, thank you.
Well, please, no. If Huckabee believes in the Catholic, as you do, the Blessed Trinity, that God is in three different people, maybe you...
Well, you have to believe that to be a Catholic, too, so what does
right?
it matter? The thing that bothers me about Huckabee is he also believes the evolution-defying fundamentalist. He actually buys into all that creationism nonsense.
Does he believe as creationism or as divine or intelligent design? See, that's the whole idea.
He would... Why? He probably presents it under that banner, but what's the difference between creationism and intelligent design, mister?
The point, okay, creationism means God did this in so many days, and you got to believe what the Bible says. But when you say scientifically everything goes back to some sort of Big Bang, mm-hmm. I say, okay, who set off that Big Bang? Who set the laws of the speed of light, the weight of gravity, blah, 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 and all these physical laws we have to deal with in the universe? What are these absolute laws? Who created that formula?
Do you believe there was someone or something or some entity that created that formula? Or do you believe it's all random?
I can't believe it's all random. There's just too many fixed designs in physics, all right? There are too many limitations that are absolute.
Something
had to make limitations.
If that's true, then why didn't the so-called creator do a lot better of a job at creation instead of leaving so many things up in the air? Instead of creating, for example, instead of creating we humans in quote-unquote his image and likeness, because if we are truly created in the image of and likeness of God, then God ain't all that much. God did a fucked up job.
He drew
us together.
You're talking creationism, and you're talking about an interpretation of the original, the Aramaic. In other words, are we in his image or are we within his image? Is God the universe? That's always been my interpretation, that we as humans made God human rather than we be part of God.
And as always, it comes down to the same bottom line question that nobody can ever answer any more than we can really definitively answer most of the really tough questions, which is, okay, right, accepting for the moment that there is a supreme divine entity that might be responsible for the universe, for all we know of, where did that entity come from?
Well, that's where you have
that to. That is that question. That's the one that just leaves everybody.
That's the one you have
How
to believe.
How the hell is this all stalled?
That's the one you got to believe. Always was, always will be. That's what you got to believe.
There is no always
in
was,
infinity.
Always will
You've
be.
You've got to believe in infinity.
I only believe in infinity when I'm doing a mega on my job and it comes up on my meter. That's the only infinity I believe in. Everything
That's
else,
called an open circuit, folks.
Yes, it is. Everything else subject to interpretation, Pally. But by the way, I also found a name here. God bless Representative Gary Ackerman, Democrat of New York, for not voting for House Resolution 847, recognizing the importance of Christmas and the Christian faith. Can we please stop with this shit?
Well, let me put it this way. I've met Congressman Ackerman, and one time we did some work at his office, so I met him. Uh-huh. While he himself doesn't seem to be very religious, he does have a lot of, shall we, Orthodox Jewish supporters.
So
I would say that, you know, Christmas and I think he was able to say no.
All right, I take back the God bless him. Not that it meant anything, because my belief in God is so fungible. What are you giving me that look for? About time you said something other than, what are you pointing at?
You forgetting something?
Oh, there's somebody on the, somebody waiting.
Oh, there's somebody, where?
Because you...
Oh, fuck, why didn't you tell me? I hadn't even looked at the screen the longest time. I did not know Rufus was on the line. Is he still on the line, my guy?
I don't know, find out.
Rufus, are you there?
Outside the weather's frightful. We're listening to John Lightning and the Chipmunks.
I apologize. I had no idea you were there all this time.
Wow.
Michael, your job as producer is to remind me more often.
How about as being...
Don't eat the microphone. Jesus, when are you going to learn?
I didn't hit the mic. I'm right.
No,
it may be my job, but it's your job when I type in stuff on the computer screen to take the calls. And you went to Sean.
Sure, trust me, I got reasons for that. All right, thank you very much. Good evening, Rufus.
Outside the weather's frightful. We're listening to John Lightning and the Chipmunks is
delightful.
Lightning, panel of chipmunks, an expanding audience as we get closer and closer to the end of the show, which the show really never ends because Johnny goes right to work putting together the show for next week.
That's right, damn it.
I'll tell you, guys, it's a great show, and it was a thrill. It was a thrill for me Friday night to hear John Lightning on the Bob Grant Show.
What is this?
Grant said you sound like you were calling from a cigar box. I don't know what that was all about.
I was not on the Bob Grant Show Friday night.
I don't know. It sounded like you, John from Brooklyn. You were talking about radio and the same old thing or something. I don't know.
I assure anybody out there listening right now, and those of you not listening right now, I was not on the Bob Grant Show Friday night unless somebody called up and was rolling tape of John Lightning.
All I know is Bob Grant said it sounded like the guy was calling from a cigar box. To me, it sounded like the guy had a sore throat.
But... Yeah, to me, it sounds like somebody was either doing a poor John Lightning imitation, as though they could be another type, or somebody was playing tape.
And nobody can imitate Johnny Lightning. And it was a great...
Why would they?
And folks, it was a great night in shortwave and AM radio that night because the great Frank of Queens and the great John of Staten Island interviewed the great patriot Jay Buchanan. You also had the $500 haircut on the show. You had Steve from Manhattan on the show. You really had a great night of talk radio in the New York area if you were listening. And you could go to the archives of, I think it's called TalkStreamLive.com. If you click onto the right perspective, you'll hear the two great ones interviewing Patriot Jay Buchanan. And believe me, there were no softballs thrown in that would you call it an interview?
I doubt there would be. Not by those gentlemen.
Well, three heavyweights getting together. I mean, whatever you want to call it, was tremendous. The only thing could have beat that would be Lightning calling in and plugging his show.
But then Con Edison is playing with the power here. I'm seeing flickering. I'm sorry. It's driving me crazy.
Well, stop tampering with the meter, kid.
Never done that. Never done that. As tempted as I've been.
Yeah. Oh, gee. No, you got 220 in this room, and one phase is always flickering. Somebody's got a refrigerator upstairs or something.
No. There is nothing generally flickering in here. Both phases are solid.
No, that's when I see that light over there. I see flickering every so often.
No, it's been fine. Trust me, you're nuts. Hmm. I can see real flickering. Why are we discussing this?
Well,
shut up, will you?
The only time anything flickers is when Lightning puts on his air conditioner and the lights in all the other apartments start.
Yeah, well, that's about the only time the lights in here will dim, which is when the air conditioner kicks in.
Because Johnny probably is running his air conditioner off the circuits coming from the other apartments.
Shush, will you?
You cheater.
They're not supposed to know that.
Crazy lad, Lightning. You got marbles in that head. You're a screwball. You're a crazy lad.
Yes, indeed.
And anyway, the thing with Kennedy in 1960, I mean, first of all, you got to realize, you got to take, it's 1960, and the other guy is talking in 2007. Basically, Kennedy tried to, the Pope isn't going to tell me what to do, and then Kennedy said, and I'm not going to tell the Pope what to do. I mean,
Kennedy told the Pope he's not.
He was part of the establishment. He was signed, sealed, and delivered Kennedy. They're not going to touch him. The same thing with Romney with the hair. I mean, let's look at the whole thing now. A year ago, it was going to be McCain was going to be the Republican candidate. Then it was going to be Romney because he had the best hair. Then it was going to be Giuliani. Then now it's going to be Huckabuck. I mean, come on. It's nonsense. It's all total nonsense out there. And it just goes to show you, I told people for a year, I've been telling them, is that the kind of campaign you want? I mean, I don't make a big deal out of Hillary Clinton. I don't make her out to be so smart or so great or so dangerous.
Well, none of us do. Well, dangerous, maybe.
Well, if she gets elected, I'm going to be under my bed or something. Folks, she's very beatable. But you don't want a candidate like a Giuliani. I said it. You want Giuliani having commercials, running commercials of Giuliani and Hillary having a pillow fight? You realize the commercials? Hey, folks, you got to laugh at yourself. If you sent money to Giuliani's campaign, you want to know the commercials he's running in Iowa? He goes every year. He goes up to Harlem and the Hale House, and he reads Christmas stories to black kids and the kids with black kids with AIDS. He videotapes.
Wow, that sounds like what Dog Bounty Hunter was doing today.
Right. He videotapes it, and he used the videotape as a commercial up in Iowa. And one of the black women in Harlem who was in the videotape starts hitting Giuliani with her pocket, was saying, "Drop that commercial. Stop that commercial. I didn't give you authorization to be in it."
Well, what kind of accent are you doing there, pal?
Trying to do a woman's accent.
A woman of color's accent.
Well, anyway, the bottom line is this. You wasted your money if you've made any donations to this campaign. You should have been sending it to the great Johnny Lightning. That's really
all right.
You're making those contributions. You wasted your money. I said it's basically...
You know, a dime, I don't think a dime's come into our PayPal account in weeks. And here we are at that most wonderful time of the year when you would think that the people that get this for free every week would say, you know what? We do get this for free every week. We enjoy it. John works hard. John spends a lot of money to put it together, to produce it, to keep it on the air. Let's send along a little something, maybe even a little more than a little something. Once a year, let's say, thank you, Johnny. And I checked that PayPal account. Very few people are saying, thank you, Johnny. And, I've been told by some people that perhaps I shouldn't even bring that up. But it is somewhat, in my never humble opinion, somewhat disrespectful. And it makes me sad to think that few people who listen, who take this every week, think enough of it to say thank you in a more substantial and noticeable form.
We love you, Johnny.
No, I don't need that. I need we love you, Johnny. Here's $10, $50, $100, $5,000. That's the kind of thank you John P. Lightning needs.
Well, speaking of Kennedy, ask not what Johnny Lightning can do for you, but ask what you can do for Johnny Lightning. And send in $5 or send in $10, you cheap. And, you know, you brought up that thing.
That sounded more like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, the left wing, the liberal left wing of the Kennedy family there, right? Remember a few years back, right, all the Republican conservatives were going, oh, this is a great guy. He smokes cigars. He's a conservative. You see the legislation that he's signing out there? To put cupcakeism into the school book.
Whoa, what is this?
Out in California, a couple of weeks ago, Schwarzenegger signed in a new education bill that authorizes the teaching of cupcakeism.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're referring to
gay
people.
No, the word, I don't use the word gay, because gay, if you talk about gay in the present tense, and you hijack that the definition of that word, let me tell you, look at all the songs that has that have that word in it.
What's wrong with the word gay?
Okay.
What's wrong with it?
Gay as G-A-Y, but however, among the gay community, they spelled it G-A-Y-E.
Homosexual.
They tried. Well, I don't know if anybody accepted that, but they did for many years.
It's the homosexual community. And Johnny, how much time do you spend at your regular job writing your show, too?
In actuality, very little. And it's not because I don't have downtime on the job that would allow me to do that. But in the workplace where I'm invariably surrounded by many other people that are about nothing sometimes, even a job, it's not an atmosphere that's conducive to good writing. I like to write when there's no conversation going on around me in a controlled atmosphere where it's pretty much relatively quiet. Even on the subway is good. Because if there's nobody chit-chatting around me, and I've got my earplugs in, so I don't have to hear the Walkmans and whatnot around me, I can get a lot of writing done. In the shop where there are multiple conversations going on, I find it very hard to write on the job.
Right, and I'd hate to be involved in a train delay because you're writing something for your show or something, Johnny. You know? I mean, what do? You write by a lantern or something?
No, nothing like that. Come on, cut that out.
You fairy!
And what are you wearing? And what are you wearing? Earplugs, earphones for? You can't hear.
No, not earphones. I wear earplugs, so I don't have to hear the sizzle coming off of people's iPod and their games and their cell phones and all the other crap that I shouldn't have to listen to in public because people are insensitive and don't care whether or not they're destroying the quality of life of the people around them.
And his MP3 player has a terabyte of memory for a lot of old albums that he has, especially Grateful Dead.
What the hell are you talking about?
On your earplugs.
Oh, heavens.
On your earplugs sounds like you're not listening to anything.
Yeah, I never said earplugs. Excuse me, I did say earplugs. I don't mean ear. Fuck it.
It's like an ear.
I got to get out of here. I'm
it's
tired.
It's actually really like an ear microphone or something, isn't it? I mean,
they're foam earplugs that block out a percentage of the noise around me.
Yeah, but that's not good if you're in the subway. John, suppose if you're on a train...
They block out a percentage of the noise. I could still hear what's going on around me. I could still hear PA announcements, although they're so garbled you really can't make out what they're saying. I could hear what's going on around me, but it's muted. It's suppressed enough that it makes it easier for me to concentrate on my reading and writing.
Well, it sounds like the PA announcements are done by Charlie Brown's teacher.
Well...
But what happens if, like, Mighty Joe Young is running through the train car or something, you got earplugs and you can't hear it, and you can't get the hell out of there or move or something?
Trust me, like I say, it mutes the sound around you. It does not obliterate it. It does not block it totally.
You can't hear the crackle, rattle, bang, bang of the wheels, but you
can definitely... crackle, rattle, bang, bang. Help me, somebody.
Suppose if somebody...
Flat wheels, you know, flat wheels, bang, bang. You never had a flat wheel on the
flat
subway?
Flat wheels. I've been to their website on YouTube.
All
pretty
right,
good
fine,
band.
Fine. You know, I mean, we work in the railroad, but you should know what it is.
Yes,
but I mean,
sure
you,
do.
But, I mean, that might stop.
You send them to the flat wheel shop, which is a particular problem this time of year when lots of leaves and debris gets on the tracks and causes the train wheels to slide. They lock up and slide, and that's how you get flat wheels.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Same thing on the subway. But then again, but
same thing on the subway. What the hell you think I was talking about? Yes,
the leaves. You're in the rail. All right, you know. All right. But I'm saying, it knocks out
fucking
all that
guy.
Noise. Not, it takes away all that noise, but he can still hear somebody go,
"Aah!" Oh, God. All right, we're getting that. That was so unnecessary that, I really didn't need that. How fucking stupid. All right, wrap it up, Rufus. He's off. Don't worry about him.
Oh, first of all, suppose if somebody's getting murdered in the other train car, you're not going to hear it. There's no way you could possibly hear if you got earplugs or in your ear. That's the first thing, okay? And, of course, we know the Christmas season is coming up. And we got folks, we got to end this thing with a Christmas song. Everybody waits for us to sing, and the only thing appropriate would be, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
You're a bastard.
Just like the ones I used to know.
Yes.
Where the treetops glisten.
Yeah, man.
And children listen. To hear the sleigh bells in the snow, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas
With every Christmas card I write,
that's right.
May your days be merry and bright.
That's gay.
And may all your Christmases be white.
If this is the voice of doom calling. Your days are numbered to the seventh son of the seventh son.
I sure hope so after that pitiful ending to Rufus's phone call. Some of the worst, without a, the worst example of singing since what was it, last show when the John Lightning Singers performed as a means of encouraging telephone input to the show, and that was another mistake on my show. All right, I've got a. Oh no! Come on! Why'd you bring me this? Like, we need to hear this song again.
Well, at least we'll hear it the way it should have been sung. That's why I was thinking of it.
Okay, no, that's a good idea, but yeah. No, I just want to get the hell out of here.
Say goodbye.
All right, so I'm just going to say goodbye. Anything else? Michael's like leaning into his microphone. You contribute so little to the post game shows now. Yeah. We might as well just send you home early. Of course, you know it's going to come out of your check, but.
Oh well, then I guess I better stick around then.
Yeah, but you're going to have to contribute then.
Ah, rats. Well, the listeners don't contribute. Why should I? Break open the saddlebags. He didn't get a chance to say.
Thank you very much. Yes. Thank you very much. Okay. Anything else?
That's it.
Nothing else? All this to arrive at this point?
And say goodnight, all.
I guess I could. I don't know that I want to.
You got to work in the morning. That's incentive to sign off.
That's incentive, but not necessarily to sign. That's almost incentive to stick around. But no, I guess we do have to get out of here. Okay, I was stretching trying to find a nice jingle to go out on, and with all the work I did here on the system today. For some reason, that folder just doesn't come up in this folder, which doesn't go through to the other folder, which doesn't allow me to find a nice jingle to play so we can go out with a nice jingle. Can't find one. And I wanted a Christmas jingle, just a simple fucking Christmas jingle. And I look over here. Let's see. What about that folder? Dee, 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 dee. No, that's the wrong folder. Hold on. Okay, we'll play this one again. What the hell?
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
We cut it up again.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas from 11 now.
Bye, y'all.